Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our telephone talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us this morning. We're also pleased to welcome back here to the studio our own station manager, Dan Simeone. We're going to do one of those shows we call Talk to the Manager. We realized that, first of all, it had been quite a long time since Dan had been on the show, so we thought, well, this would be a good thing to do. And also, we thought this would be a good time to do it because we are looking ahead to the next fiscal year. Dan and Jay and Jake and everybody around here are working on their budgets. They're thinking about their resources for next year, what they're going to do for next year. Also, we're asking people to support the station. So we thought for all of these reasons, this would be a pretty good time to ask Dan to come in. And the idea here is your opportunity to ask questions, make comments, whatever's on your mind about programming on our radio stations, WILL AM and FM. We definitely want to hear about it. Dan, I know, will respond as best as he can. And if you have complaints, that's okay. If you have compliments, that's always nice. But one way or another, if you have something to say about the programs you hear on our stations, this is your chance to call in and talk to the guy who's responsible here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Also, we have a toll-free line. That one's good anywhere you can hear us. Around Illinois, Indiana, anywhere the signal will travel, 800-222-9455. I'm glad to have you back here on the show.
It's good to be here, David. This is certainly a busy time of year for us. In addition to, you mentioned we're sort of moving down through the last few weeks of our fiscal year, and we're anxiously hoping that we will meet our goal, our $700,000 goal. So that's certainly something that is top of the mind for us at the moment. It's also a time of year when we have some special events that keep us all very busy. We just had our vintage vinyl sale this past Saturday. It was very, very successful. I just checked with Debbie Day, who our development director, who does all of the tallying that day in terms of what our dollar total was, and she indicated it was right around $22,300 for the sale, and that's just slightly under what we raised last year, and is very, very successful outcome for Vintage Vinyl. And you know, David, that event is somewhat unique in many ways, because the great thing about it from a fundraising standpoint is that it's most of the proceeds go directly to all of the proceeds go directly to WILL, but it's an event with very few expenses related to it because we get such great volunteer help. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are people, principally Phyllis Klein and Catherine Yancey, who from a volunteer standpoint, run the sale for us, who just put in hours and hours of work to organize everything, to organize the volunteers and the method of classifying the various recordings and organizing the pickup of records throughout the area. And then there are many, many more volunteers who just put in hours and hours of time helping to sort through the records and classify them for us. And I don't want to start mentioning names because I'm sure I would slight somebody, but it's just a tremendous event from that standpoint. We get so much volunteer help, and really every hour of volunteer help is a real donation to the station, because that's money that we do not have to put out to do the maintenance work on the sale that really makes it possible. So, and then of course Heather Miller of our staff, who coordinates the sale from the staff standpoint here at WILL, just does an outstanding job. And Heather's husband, Rick, just puts in hours and hours of time. And there's so many people to thank, but the outcome was terrific. And it was great to see so many people come to the sale Saturday. We had a great crowd. Many of you probably know we had the sale at Marketplace this year. So we had a lot of good walkthrough traffic. And as always, there was a huge line of people waiting before the doors actually opened at 8 o'clock. And the initial rush to the stacks of records is always kind of interesting. And this year, our space was a little narrower than usual, so people were really stacked in there for the first couple of hours. But everybody was well behaved and patient, and it turned out very, very well. And And we had pretty good traffic through the site most of the day. So it was very nice to see. And again, I want to thank everybody that came and bought records. It's a fun event too. I think that's the really nice thing about it, because people are always finding treasures that they never thought they would ever see again, and somehow somewhere buried in some stack they find an LP that meant a lot to them when they were kids or when they were growing up, and a lot of great stories people tell at the event. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I don't think the people are going to get that way about compact discs. I don't think it's quite the same. I know that there are some people that are really passionate about vinyl, it's also nice to know in this increasingly digitized world that it's still there and that there are some people who are really attached to it.
Yeah, and you see more young people than you would expect who are interested in collecting vinyl, and there are a number of groups from the days when you and I were growing up that are, you know, still popular with young kids who are sort of nostalgic about some of the earlier rock groups. So it is a different kind of, and the other thing that people always, a lot of people mention, is the artwork on the album covers, mm-hmm. which again with CDs is a little bit of a different, certainly a different orientation, but with there, in fact, we had a number of covers that did not have LPs in them, and we were selling those pretty successfully too. So it's a great event, and again a fun time of year too, because next weekend we have our concert in the park coming up, and that's going to be a lot of fun, and we hope you will mark next Saturday on your calendar if you haven't already. Saturday, June 16th at Robert Allerton Park in Monticello, we'll have our annual concert in the park. And this year we're featuring as our main act the Prairie Ensemble, directed by WILL-FM's own Kevin Kelly. And we're so pleased that it worked out this year that we were able to have the Prairie Ensemble. It was a group that was formed in 1996 by Kevin and a small group of instrumentalists. And the idea of this group is to really bring classical music to a broad audience. And we're real pleased that they're going to join us. They will be performing Handel's music for the Royal Fireworks, Copland's Old American Songs with bass baritone Ronald Hedlund, and Beethoven's Symphony No. 8. So that's the program. And the Prairie Ensemble will actually begin its performance at 6 o'clock, but to come early, because at 5 o'clock, our opening act is the Barbershop Quartet that's known as 4 o'clock Sharp. Now, it's a little tricky to keep track of this, but they're performing at 5.
4 o'clock sharp at 5 o'clock.
That's it. Okay. That's the public radio way.
We just have to make things complicated. Don't we?
That's right. We try. And it's a great barbershop group and should be a lot of fun. So we hope you'll join us at 5 for 4 o'clock sharp. And then after that, around 6 o'clock, the Prairie Ensemble. And one other thing I want to mention is that this year the concert will be in a different location. We have nothing against the Sunken Garden, but the last few years, with the rain, it has lived up to its name. And we have had some problems with wet weather there. So we decided to try to move the concert to the Gatehouse Lawn. It's just before you get to the visitor center. So parking is very convenient. And it should be a really nice location for us. So I talked to Keezer before he left last week, and I said, now, we've had a few problems in recent years. And this year, we need some sunny weather, no rain, on Saturday, June 16th.
Uh-huh.
And he said he would do his best. But see, it's a little bit tricky because he's not around this week. So I'm hoping that he'll be able to work his magic from wherever he is and give us a nice day on Saturday. We're due for a nice day.
I know this guy for some time, and I know if he was here... And we were implying that he had any control over the weather. We'd be hearing about it.
Right.
So I'm sure it will be nice.
Well, I certainly hope so, because it has been such a great event over the years. But last few years, we've had a few problems with wet weather. And again, the way we work that is that Ed will actually be here that Saturday. And he'll be watching the weather carefully in the weather office. And we will be checking in with him regularly. So that if we do happen to have to call the event because of weather, we'll try to do so early enough so that people don't aren't already on their way out to Allerton. But we're hoping. We're going to take an optimistic view of it this year, and we're due for some nice sunny weather. We even, you know, part of our logo this year is a nice, bright sun. And that wasn't by accident. That's what we're going to work some karma on the event this year, but we will be keeping track of the weather for you through the afternoon. So we'll let you know how that turns out.
All right. Looks like we got a caller here lined up, and we have here in studio as our guest this part of Focus 580, our station manager for WILL Radio, both AM and FM, Dan Simeone. It's been quite a while since we've done this show, and we do them to give you the opportunity to call in and to tell us what you think about programming on both of our stations. If there's something you like, something you don't, you have a suggestion, something you think might make for a change that would be for the better, we're certainly interested in hearing from you. We can't promise we'll make everybody happy, but we certainly are interested in what you think. So 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Here's a caller in Champaign. Line number one. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
You're coming to the end of the fundraising season, and something that passes through my mind at times like this are the friends of WILL are, in a certain sense, the shareholders. And I'm wondering whether there is a document that you prepare that provides a detailed presentation of your budget that is available to friends.
Yes, we always do a in our membership magazine Patterns. We always do sort of an annual report on our fundraising activities for the year, and that usually appears at the end of the year once we have all of the numbers in. I believe it appears in the maybe the September issue, if I remember correctly. Where we outline all of the fundraising results from the past year, and really put it down in some detail in Patterns, so that our members get a look at exactly how things worked out. But of course, we're also we're certainly very willing to. That's one of the reasons why I appear on shows like this. Is if you have any specific questions about the budget, I'd certainly be glad to answer them. But that is where we sort of do our report to members officially, is in our membership magazine Patterns.
Okay. Now, what you're speaking of is a report of the fundraising activities and their results. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, what I was asking about is an account of how you spend the money.
Yes. Well, we usually we don't really put out a formal report of that type, although we certainly could. One of the things we try to do during our fundraising, our 2-week fundraising periods, 2-week long fundraising periods, I should say, during the year, is really try to be pretty specific during that time about how we intend to spend the money that listeners contribute, so that you have some idea of what projects we have underway from a technical standpoint, whether we plan any major program changes, or whether there are new programs we're looking at in terms of adding to the schedule. We try to be fairly specific about that during our fundraising campaigns, because one of the reasons is that we, at a time when we're directly asking for support, we really feel like people do have a right to know how it's being spent. But as far as a formal detailed report as to how the money is spent, we have not done that previously in Patterns or elsewhere. Certainly, if there was significant interest, we would consider doing so. We do certainly have all of that information, and And it does change from year to year, depending on what projects we have underway at any given time. So, and obviously the revenue picture changes from year to year. So that also affects what we can afford to do each year. So I take it from your question that that is something you would like to see.
Oh yes, yes.
Okay.
Very much so, something that would show in detail how the money was spent in the past year and in what's projected and hoped for in the coming year.
Uh-huh.
Down to the point of many of the things that you broadcast are things that you purchase.
That's correct.
And it would be nice to have a whole list of those and how much each one costs.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you ask, often during the fundraising in particular, you ask opinions of people about things that they would like to see continue and or maybe be added.
Right.
Or things that they think that could be dispensed with. And knowing how much things cost, both absolutely and relative to one another, I think would help people a lot. Certainly would help me in trying to provide you with the kind of feedback that you want.
Sure. It's a very reasonable suggestion. One of the things it does, sometimes the numbers can raise other questions for people. Depending on the particular program involved, because, you know, we have some one-hour programs, one-hour weekly programs that come to us free. We have some hour-long once-a-week programs that cost a few hundred dollars a year. We have others that cost, you know, as much as $15,000 or $20,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though they both occupy a one-hour weekly slot, the costs can vary dramatically. And a lot of times people will ask, well, how can that be? You know, it depends on a variety of factors. Certainly the popularity of the show is one criteria. No, I've written down your suggestion, I guess I would like to know if there was significant interest in that on the part of other people as well.
It puzzles me that you don't do it routinely. I mean, mm-hmm. As I say, the friends are sort of the shareholders and a business, and many nonprofits do this sort of thing just as an ordinary mm-hmm. part of their routine.
Right. We haven't, you know, it's certainly not, and there is no information that is, that is proprietary or anything, particularly the information about what we spend on programs and projects and that sort of thing. We could certainly do that. Obviously it would take some time, but not really all that much because we do have all of those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that difficult to do.
What would be a reasonable length of time to check back with you to see what you decided to do?
Well, feel free to call me. I mean, I will raise this issue at our next fundraising meeting. We have one of those a month, so I would say if you give me a call in a month, I should have an answer for you.
Very good.
Okay. Sure.
Right, thank you. We have a number of other calls here. Our guest is Dan Simeone. He's station manager for WILL AM and FM. And on occasion, he is here. Sometimes Jay Pierce is also here on the show to respond to your questions about programming. And we looked at our calendar and realized it had been a long time since Dan had been on the show. And since we are asking for your support, we thought this would be a good time to have him here and take whatever questions, comments you have. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. Those are the numbers. I've got somebody here on a car phone, so I want to get to them next here in Paris. Hello, line two.
Good morning.
Yes.
I have two questions. One's technical. I've lived here in Paris now for 14 years. When I first moved here, I got fairly good reception at night. After sundown, and then it seemed shortly after that that it changed. Did you change your broadcast directions sometime in the past? You may not be able to answer that question right now. The other question is, I'm a loyal listener and supporter of WILL. However, my politics are relatively conservative. Would it be possible, perhaps, to start airing, you know, a representative conservative view on WILL?
First of all, let me take your first question. I presume you're talking about the AM station in terms of your listening. Is that primarily the station you listen to?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It actually would be fairly unusual for you to be able to hear the AM station at night after sunset in Paris. Really, our coverage hasn't changed much in many, many years. We are required to drop our power to 100 watts in graduated steps once sunset arrives. And we really don't serve much of the area outside the Twin Cities area once we go to low power. So whatever atmospheric effects allowed you to receive the AM station at night in Paris up until a few years ago was very unusual, because chances are it would be difficult for you to pick up our AM station at night at 100 watts in Paris, Illinois. So so that one is a little bit tricky. There aren't many people outside the Champaign County area who are able to pick up AM at night at all. And obviously that's a concern of ours and something that we have, continue to look for ways to deal with. Because of the restrictions in terms of the kinds of licensing that the FCC will allow, it isn't easy for us to do, for instance, what we do with the FM station, which is put translators on the air in other communities where we don't tend to have as high power service for FM. But you aren't allowed to use translators for AM, so we have to look at other ways of improving our AM coverage. And we continue to look at some experimental types of AM antennas that might give us better coverage at night. And we also look for openings and other frequencies that may become available in our general listening area where we might be able to put our AM signal on another frequency. But, of course, it's very expensive to do that. You actually have to purchase the stations and sometimes we can use our nonprofit status to our advantage in that respect, but it has been a problem for many, many years and something we continue to work on. What I will do is refer your second question to our program director, Jay Pierce. He is the person who makes the day-to-day decisions about programming on the AM station. I believe we actually do have a couple of programs on the air already that are primarily conservative point of view programs, but I would have to check with him. Some of them are possibly on later at night when it's more difficult for you to be able to hear those programs. But we do try to present a spectrum of viewpoints, even within our regular coverage. And I realize, depending on your political point of view, you may find that spectrum not as representative as you would like. But I will certainly pass along your comment, and you can certainly feel free to call him directly to talk to him about this issue anytime here at the station.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome.
Right, thank you. Let's go on to Belgium here. Caller's been patient with us. Line number 4. Hello.
Yes. A couple of questions and comments. Just along the same lines as your last Paris caller. I'm over here right on the Illinois-Indiana border, north of him about 30 or 40 miles. And we seem to be getting a much better signal in the evenings. Have you started using one of your antennas that you've been discussing about?
No, we have not. AM coverage area can be affected by a whole variety of things. Including various kinds of interference that come and go in various areas. We do put a stronger signal to the east than we do to the west during the day, certainly. But at night, it would be fairly unusual for you to be able to pick us up
there. Well, I use one of these GE Super radios.
Well, that's the...
That's a secret.
That helps a lot. For people that aren't familiar with that radio, that's the radio that Ed West, our chief engineer, often suggests that people look into if they're sort of on the fringe and having a difficult time picking up our AM our AM signal, because that particular radio has a special AM antenna in it that provides a better isolation for AM stations and better reception for AM than a lot of other radios do. So if you are on our fringe area, I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good suggestion. If you if you're having trouble getting our AM station, looking into a GE Super radio may help you out, because it's for AM reception, it's certainly one of the best.
And they're not very expensive.
Right.
$60-$70, something like that, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think that's about right. And certainly they do help with AM reception.
The next point, I know you're not the person to talk to about the television, but just maybe an idea about the entire WILL situation. The television station has gone, or trying to go, to digital. Is that
right,
true?
That's correct.
It seems, though, the rest of the world has not really got your spirit for it. they seem to be dragging their feet quite a bit. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. You know, as you say, I'm not quite as familiar with that as someone like Carl Caldwell, our TV manager, would be, but it's certainly a transition that I'm very aware of. Because we have many discussions about it internally here at WILL. And it's one of those things that we really don't have a choice about. This is something that's been mandated by the FCC. And whether people like it or not, we will be making this digital transition. I don't remember what the exact deadline is, but I think it's something like 2003 or 2004.
Short while.
Yeah, that's right. It's not too far away now. And we have been actively working on the transmission capability that will allow us to transmit a digital signal by the deadline. As I'm sure you're aware, it's a very expensive proposition, and WILL TV has received some state support for the last couple of years to assist with the transition. And we'll receive our last year of state support in this coming year, we hope and are confident that we will certainly have pass-through capability, which means that we will not necessarily be producing our own programs in digital yet, but we will be able to provide you with a digital signal of national programs that are transmitted digitally, so you'll receive digital programming that way. If your implication in the question was that the market doesn't seem particularly interested in digital, I think to some extent that is true, although I can tell you we've had a few demonstrations internally here at WILL where we've had a digital signal available to show people, and it has been very impressive. It is certainly a much more dramatic looking picture in a lot of ways than the traditional analog signal. And I think over time people will, just as people made the conversion from LPs to CDs, I think it will be kind of a similar thing. The other thing, of course, that most people on the production side of television are particularly interested in is that we'll be able to provide several high-quality signals, not just one program service. We can present several, two or three different program services using digital technology, because it, each signal doesn't take up nearly as much bandwidth. And while we can only probably provide one high-definition transmission on digital, we can also provide several, at least a few other standard digital signals so that we could provide, for instance, a central service that has many of our offerings on it, but maybe something, another service that was geared more to children, another service that was geared more to audiences interested in how-to kinds of programs. And so there are a variety of reasons why it is an exciting prospect. And the prices are on all the receiving equipment are going to come down over time. They've already started to drop, and I think it will become a more affordable option for people as we go along.
And a last final question: about a week or two ago, Mr. Inge had a very entertaining guest on there by the name of Simeone. He wouldn't have been any relation to you, would he?
You know, we laughed about that afterwards because. David came into my office late that afternoon and said, you don't happen to have a brother by the name of Jim, do you? I said, I sure do. He teaches political science at Illinois Wesleyan, and he wrote this book about slavery in Illinois. And he said, well, we had him on Focus 580 this morning. I said, well, if nothing else, it demonstrates how much influence I have over the program schedule. Because no, I wasn't even aware of it until after he was on the air. But it is, yes, I have several brothers, and Jim teaches political science at Illinois Wesleyan, and he wrote a book on slavery in Illinois and
the River Bottom.
That's right, the River Bottom Republic. So it was kind of a strange circumstance, and I have several other brothers.
So we're going to line them up, too.
Yeah.
We have all the Simeone brothers.
Thanks for the question.
And, you know, actually, when we arranged that program, we didn't know that was Dan's brother. And one might say, well, hadn't it occurred to you, and it did actually, but after having sat here with Dan so many times, people call in, and there's a woman who works for National Public Radio whose name is Lisa Simeone, and they're not directly related, and when we booked the show with Tom, he didn't say, hey, you know, my brother works over there, so we thought, well, it's just another guy named Simeone, and after the show, we found out, yeah, it was Dan's brother, and then I went into Dan, and I said, you know, if we had known that was your brother, no way we would put him on the air. And Dan didn't even know what I was talking about because he hadn't heard the show. He knew nothing about the fact we were going to have it on. So there's no nepotism or anything like that going on here.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for calling.
We just keep on going here. We'll come back here locally to Urbana, line one. Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Hi.
A couple of comments and questions. First off, for a university station, how come you never have or seldom have, I should say, anything on the air about local goings-on campus? You know, as an example, presentations or lectures given in the Millercom series, or I can't remember if when Jack Kilby was here, if much mention was made of that.
Well, I'll just say right there is that we have had a lot of Millercom speakers here on this show. And we've been doing that for years. It's been a great source of guests for us. So
well,
at least as far as Millercom was, we
in the morning there are mornings especially there never seems to be any mention of, you know, today at such and such time at such and such place you can see that. Instead, we get the local news oftentimes is a bit on the dull side, especially today. I mean, how many times today am I going to hear about Timothy McVeigh dying? You know, I mean. It keeps going on and on and on. It's starting to sound kind of ghoulish. So to sum up my point, it would be nice if we had if there was a more emphasis paid to campus events and a better announcement or some method whereby campus organizations could have announcements made in the morning that, you know, today at 2 o'clock in Greg Hall there's going to be so-and-so and please come by and so forth. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks for your comment. Just a couple things to mention on that point. We don't tend to do, you're right, we don't tend to do a lot of listing of things on the station, frankly, on either of our stations. I guess one of the reasons is that oftentimes that information is available elsewhere, and radio doesn't tend to be the best medium for just presenting long lists of information. It certainly is efficient in some ways in terms of getting the information across, but tends not to be terribly interesting to listen to lists of things. And I certainly understand your point regarding the McVeigh coverage, but clearly, obviously, that was certainly the major story this morning. So was a lot of attention paid to it. But I will mention your suggestion to Jay Pierce, our program director. But again, we do try to stay away from, you know, we'd rather, for instance, do what David's show already does, which is when we have, you know, interesting people who are on campus, we like to try to get them on the air so you can talk to them directly. The other thing is that the events on campus are certainly interesting to people within the immediate area, but our audience extends well beyond Champaign-Urbana, and so it's a question of, you know, how interesting is that to people who may live in Peoria or the Chicago area or elsewhere, some distance away from here. So those are just a couple of points to keep in mind.
We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. Dan Simeone, our station manager, is here to take your questions, comments about the programs that we broadcast on WILL AM and FM, and we'll get in as many people as we can in the time that remains, continuing to go here to the phones. And Danforth, next person, line 3. Hello.
Hello. I just wanted to make a comment in support of the view of the gentleman who called regarding a detailed report on the station budget spending. That report would be of interest to me.
Okay.
I support and listen to WILL AM much of the day, and I would like to know how you manage to do so well with your programming. That's the end of my comment.
Well, thanks very much. I will make note of that again. Again, it's information that is certainly available. The tricky thing is, some of the rationale for what certain programs cost may not be entirely clear to people. But so again, actual costs of programs may raise more questions than they answer, but we can certainly answer those questions too. It's just a little difficult to do that in the context of an annual report in some ways. But the earlier listener is certainly correct. A lot of organizations do annual reports that provide more specific information regarding spending, and it's something we certainly could do. So I'll keep that in mind. It is a challenge every year to meet expenses based on the money we have available. And the revenue picture changes every year. It's never quite the same. We can never count on exactly the same outcomes, whether it's direct state support or federal support or, we've said it how many thousands of times on the air, but listeners really are our most reliable source of funding, something we really can count on for the most part from year to year. And so it's become a really critical part of our budget. But it's a little bit of a balancing act every year, and every year presents new challenges financially for us. So thanks for your comment.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's go to Eureka, line number 2. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a comment about FM programming Sunday evening. You have an excellent program called Pipe Dreams. But what I'm wondering, if your director could give some consideration to the one that follows it. The Oregon program is really excellent, and then when this one comes on with these synthesizers, it's such a direct contrast. Maybe they could arrange something different to follow the Oregon program.
You're referring to Music from the Hearts of Space, I presume.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So you could look at that.
Okay, I will pass along your comment. I can tell you that that both of those programs have fairly substantial audiences, and they tend to be, you're right, they tend to be very different audiences for the most part, but there are substantial audiences for both of those shows. It's just one of those sequences, program sequences on the air that is a little bit strange, because we do really shift gears pretty dramatically, and I know that's pretty apparent at that time.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
All right, thank you. And back here to Urbana, line 1. Hello.
Hello. Along the line of the caller who wanted a sort of list of things, events and that sort of thing, what you could do is also a sort of regional summary, like at the beginning of June, what's going on at the art galleries in Indianapolis and Cranert and Chicago and St. Louis, places that are easily accessible, and then also maybe something like regional events of real interest, particular shows or things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Might be helpful, and you could devote a program to that, not just doing it every day or so, but at least once a month. It could be one of those regular programs. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that would actually be my preference, would be to look at it from a programmatic standpoint rather than just presenting sort of a calendar of activities. These days with websites and other alternatives available, the radio really isn't in many ways the most appropriate medium for just listing things. We'd rather do interesting programs about them when that's possible. And so, you know, I suspect that's probably more the direction we would go with something like that. But that is a good suggestion.
All right. Let's talk with someone here in Downs. Line 4. Hello.
Hello. I want to tell you that I think, in general, the station is just wonderful, and I listen a lot. But I agree with your caller about local news. I think that's pretty lackluster. And I had the same reaction he did this morning to Timothy McVeigh. Why on local news? I realize it's in Indiana, so it kind of has a local tie-in. But there was nothing new in your local reports that were about Timothy McVeigh. And I think that what you were just talking about in terms of, you know, maybe an arts program or something like that, the local news could be handled more creatively.
Okay, I'll note your comment. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank
you.
All
right, and to southeastern Illinois, line number 2. Hello.
Yes, some comments about Focus 580. On your anniversary, I forget which anniversary it was, you know, I told you about, I remembered back when it used to be that your main job as a moderator was to keep a calm, the waves from getting too high in the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the liberals, if for want of a better term, and that's not really a good one, have been sitting on their tongues for the last 8 years with Clinton in the White House, and last Wednesday was a pretty good example of how things, I think, are going to pick up now that there is, at least for the moment, a Republican in the White House. Things got pretty sharp with the ad hominem attacks and all of that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know the program you're talking about.
Yes. Anyway, a couple of on book TV on C-SPAN, a couple of books that I doubt will be on your program, but one might make interesting call-ins. A book by a man named Radosh, R-A-D-O-S-H, titled Commies.
Mm-hmm.
And another one, I thought if you wanted to raise the level of the general cultural level of the station, they had one this weekend. I watched a wild hog eat my baby.
I think that is that the book that's it's sort of the history of the tabloid.
He has worked for National Enquirer.
Actually, Jim Meadows talked to that guy, and they did a little feature on that. And it, I think that was part of the last Sidetrack program. But if
all I listen to is Focus.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and also that's a show that runs. Well, it runs at the point during the week where I think we'd be at low power, so you couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
And then we run that at, well, it's also 9 o'clock on Saturday nights. That's also when we'd be at low power, so you couldn't hear it.
I wasn't really seriously recommending. The man had a very offhand attitude about the fact that he was putting out his news. What he knew was a bunch of baloney.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he thought that anybody that believed the stuff in those was, you know, not...
Yes, I take your point.
I have a question for Mr. Simeone, since everybody's into facts and figures here. I was just wondering, what is your bottom line on the $40 membership?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
By the time you have paid the, you know, there's you send out
right
collection material that costs money. You got cost money to print it. You print the Patterns magazine and send that, mail that out.
That's correct.
time, and there are a number of expenses and various other things, your sweepstakes,
right,
which I assume you send to all members,
right,
so that there are a lot of expenses involved with a membership, and I just wondered what the bottom line on the thing was, and if you can't answer it, well, that's not really important. But I was just curious.
Well, I probably can't answer you in a quantitative way exactly, but I can tell you this: that one of the things we do keep a careful eye on is the net. In other words, how much are we spending on a particular activity, in terms of what we get back for that activity, whether it's a direct mail piece or, it's one of the reasons why, for instance, we don't do an auction anymore on WILL-TV, because when we really looked at the real costs of doing an auction on the air on TV, we recognized we were really not getting much of a return because of the number of hours involved in planning and production, et cetera, involved in such an activity. That switch was a switch we made to sweepstakes, because the upfront costs for sweepstakes are much less, especially once we've done it a couple of times, than doing something like an auction. So we're always careful about, and we at various times will eliminate certain mailings, for instance, if we find that a second hit of a particular mailing or a third hit of a particular mailing really doesn't return much.
Yeah.
We will eliminate it from the cycle.
I was thinking about the more or less, to some extent, unavoidable cost of membership. And there is a cost involved in membership, so I
sure.
know you don't net $40 on a $40 membership.
No, that's correct. I think that would be a safe assumption. But we try to, clearly given what's happened with postage and everything else, where rates have increased pretty significantly, we have tried to really keep costs to a minimum where we can control those costs.
I really am not. I'm not gung ho on the thing. I was just a matter of.
Sure. No, it's a very reasonable question, and it's something that we are very conscious of.
Really, what I was thinking of is I stay under a membership because I figure that I can probably what I'm giving is your net is better on a check that's somewhat slightly below a membership than on a membership the benefits of membership don't mean anything to me. I mean, I think it's mostly TV ratings. I mean, the radio stuff is pretty much the same from day to day. You surely mm-hmm. don't give detailed information in your patterns on what's going to be on Fresh Air and things like that, do you? I mean,
not as much. Although we do have listings, but I don't think we.
Well, the thing is, we don't. The patterns goes to press a couple of months before it arrives
right.
in your mailbox, and we have no idea. We don't know what we're doing on Focus. We don't know what they're going to be doing
right.
now. We don't know.
You don't have the information.
Right.
No,
exactly.
I'll let somebody else in before the time's up.
Right. Well, we're in fact at the point where we're going to have to stop.
David, one thing I just want to mention quickly, because it relates mm-hmm. to a question we had earlier. Dee Breeding, who's a member of our office staff, mentioned to me that she and Jay Pierce, our AM program director, are working on a calendar, an events calendar of some kind. So that may be showing up on the air relatively soon, and I wasn't even aware of that. So that's something to keep
okay.
in mind.
And we have another caller here. I don't know if you... want to take them off the
sure,
air, the Armstrong caller. So hold on, and thanks very much.
Yeah, sure. It's great to be here, Dan.
Our station manager, Dan Simeone.